Today's passage comes from the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, starting in verse 22, and I'm going to read down through verse 31. Acts 17, starting in verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with an inscription to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth and be marked And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." Paul, the great missionary. Paul, the one who reaches out and touches people's hearts, and he is the one that was called to reach out to those who were not part of the nation of Israel. He's called to reach out to them and to help them and guide them. And I want to go back a little bit before this because I want you to understand what Paul is thinking a little bit. So I'm going to go back and read verse 16 at least. Because you see, Paul has been going through the town. He's been looking around Athens, and he's been looking here and looking there. While Paul was waiting, verse 16, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So you see, Paul has been looking here and there. He's been looking in the town and he's been seeing that they have idols set up for every kind of god that they can think of. I remember the chance I had to go to a Hindu temple in Kenya. On the back wall of their sanctuary were shelves. And I mean lots of shelves. And on these shelves, every 6 inches or so, was another so-called god. And in front of each one of them was a little box that you could give your tribute to that god. One that was with me asked the people there in the temple, "Well, what do you believe about Jesus Christ?" And he said, oh, come here. Here he sits on the shelf with all the rest of the gods. You see, they included that as part of what they believed, they thought. And Paul is seeing that same thing through the town of Athens. They have idols set up for all the gods. All the ones of mythology that we know, all the ones that they can learn from around the world, and they have them all over the place. But yet many of them are still lost. You see, this message that Paul has and what Paul does in this place is very important for us. It is very important for us. Because what I want you to realize, which I think you do, but you may not know the gravity of the whole situation, is that new people coming to Christ, church membership and attendance is on the decline. Not just here in this town, not just in this state, not in this country, but around the world. New Christians coming to Christ, people joining churches, and attendance is on the decline. Now, we can come up with any great number of excuses for people who are not here, can't we? It's about COVID. It's about this. It's about that. It's about, you know what it's about? It's about the fact that we haven't showed them that they need God. It's our responsibility. It's about us not being involved in their lives. It's about us coming and sitting in a building and saying, well, the door's open, you can come if you want to. That's what it's about. I read an article in the London Times about a month ago. Only about 25% of the churches in all of England have a weekly worship service. Most of them only meet once a month. You want to know why that is? Two reasons. First reason is people are not coming. So they only open once a week or once a month. The second reason is there's not enough pastors. There was one case, at least, where a pastor was in charge of 60 churches. Because they don't have enough people going in to the ministry. So they can't meet every week. Besides the fact that people don't care. I shared with you earlier this year, there's a whole part of our society, the United States, American society, that is defined as nones. N-O-N-E-S. Okay? Not N-U-N. N-O-N-E-S. In about 20 years' time, they will be the majority in this country. They believe in nothing spiritual. They see no use for church. Christians will be a minority in this country if things continue the way they are. We will be a minority. Now, I know some of you might come to me and say, well, that's because of the Muslims or the Buddhists or this or that or the other. That's not true. They are only projected to go from about 6% of the population to about 12%. The drop-off in Christians is because people are choosing not to believe in anything. And that's why many churches are empty. Now, I know it's very easy to say they need to get their life right, that they need to get together, that they need to see the need for God in their lives. But here's what I'm going to say. Why aren't we telling them? Why aren't we sharing with them? Why aren't we having relationships with them so that they can see what it means to have as God part of your life? So that they can see what it means to be blessed by God and the benefits that we get from that and what we get from being a community together. I'm going to put the responsibility on us, not on them. Myself included. Jesus says, go out and make disciples, not converts. Jesus doesn't say go out and get people saved and leave them there. Jesus says get them saved and make disciples out of them. That's a much longer and more detailed process than just helping somebody come to Christ. Are you a disciple? Are you leading other people to be a disciple? It is not an option in the spiritual life. Being a disciple is not an option. It's not an extra thing that you do if you got time. Every one of us should be a disciple, and we should be making disciples. Now, I want to look at this passage with Paul because it's very important what he does. That sometimes I think we get it out of order. We should look at Paul's example. Instead of spreading the gospel in a one-size-fits-all presentation. Now, let me explain what I mean about this. We need to look at what Paul did in this situation because I think it has great and incredible value. Versus learning a step-by-step way to share the gospel, and you come into somebody's life and you share the gospel with them and you step back out and you go, there, I did what God asked me to do. Okay? There's nothing wrong with learning a step-by-step process for sharing the gospel. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong here, okay? I'm not telling you don't learn that. I'm not telling you don't use tracts. I'm not telling you not to learn how to present the faith that you have in an organized way. But when we use that as a one-size-fits-all, we're not paying attention to who people are. We're not paying attention to who people are. Standing on the street corner and yelling out the gospel that you must come to Jesus Christ or you will go to hell is not a very effective way to get people to become Christians. That's not very effective. It's not very effective for you to take a tract out of your pocket and hand it to somebody else and say, here, if you read this, you'll be okay, and walk away. That's really not very effective. I've been places where they hand tracts out like that. Can you guess what I find at the next trash can or table or chair? Just about every tract that was handed out. This one-size-fits-all presentation is not the best way. Let's look at what Paul did. Paul has been walking around town. Yes, he is upset. He is disturbed, and it really bothers him that they got idols everywhere. But I want you to look at what he does. He doesn't stand up front and say, y'all are a bunch of sinners. I don't think Paul could say that anyway because he wasn't from the South, okay? But he doesn't stand up and say that. Y'all are messed up. You need to get things straight. He doesn't say all of those things. He says, I've been walking around your town. And I've been looking at what you got here in your town. And you guys certainly do have a lot of idols. And I noticed that you had this one idol and you got a title underneath of it. It says, to an unknown God. Can I tell you about that unknown God? Do you see how less offensive that is to someone? You've already got something. Let me tell you what I know about this unknown God. Let me tell you who this God is and what this God has done and how this God has created the world and how this God has sent a son to die for us. Let me tell you about this. He started from where they were. He basically listened to them first. Think about that. He listened for where they were. Paul takes into consideration what the people currently know and starts from that point. He doesn't point out that all of these other idols are useless, worthless. He doesn't really do that, does he? He says, let me tell you about the one that you're worshiping, but you're not really quite sure how to worship. The one that you're worshiping that you don't really know because you've got it titled for an unknown God. I see great value in what Paul's doing. First off, he doesn't stand there and berate them for what they're doing wrong. He finds something that he can use, that they can identify with, and he steps from that place to the new place of, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. And if you read the passage on, you find out two things. There are two important people in that town that that day step up to follow Paul and say, we want to know more about this God that you just were able to explain to us. And there were others in the crowd that says, we want to get together with you more so that we can understand what you're talking about, Paul. Now, some of them laugh and joke at him that he doesn't know what he's talking about and that he's just bringing out all kinds of worthless information. But some come and say, we want to know more. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Well, let me share with you this, that it gets me every time it happens. It doesn't happen often anymore, but every time it happens, the doorbell rings. By the way, our doorbell almost never rings. So when it rings, it might be the postman that stuck something in the door, because he does do that for us, between the front door and the storm door, to let us know that he's stuck something in there. But it might also be somebody from a church that's going around sharing Jesus Christ with people. I go and open the door, and the first thing they try to do is hand me a tract. They try to share with me and get me saved. Because if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. And they never ask me my name. They never ask me what I understand about God first. They're just trying to get me saved. And they've got this one size fits all presentation. And they what they got to do is they got to get through that presentation. I just want to look at them and say, I'm a pastor. I've been studying the Bible deeply for over 40 years. Can I help you? Can I encourage you? But they got this presentation they got to get through, because they're going to get me saved. Now, I don't know about you, but it would be nice if they interacted with me as a person, not as an object to be saved. If they would interact with me in such a way to find out where I was spiritually first, what I knew about things, just as Paul does in this passage. I think we need to do the same thing. This requires getting to know them prior to sharing a word about Jesus Christ. This now means I'm in it for the long haul. I'm in it until they come to Christ. I'm going to get to know them in a deeper way. I'm going to find out, what do they believe about Jesus Christ first? Because if they believe this, this, and this about Jesus Christ, but they've never made a personal commitment, they already know what they need to know. Now I need to talk to them about, how come you haven't made a personal commitment? What's kept you from doing it? What's the obstacle at this point in your life? They already know about Jesus. Now, I want to let you know, there's a lot of people out there in our community that don't know Jesus Christ and don't know the facts of the Bible and can't tell you any stories from the Bible. They didn't grow up in church. They don't know these things. But I truly think you need to take a moment and listen first. You know why? Because this method is a process which takes longer, but one that gains the respect of those of whom we share with. It gains their respect that we're approaching them as a person, not as a statistic. Got another one saved. Okay? We're approaching them as a person. We're finding out who they are, what they believe, how to help them with that, and bring them to the place, if they're not a Christian. Why do I not preach an evangelistic message every week for people to come to Christ? Because I know that most of you, from what you've shared with me, already believe in Jesus Christ. So let's go a step above that. If I was here every week to try to get you saved every week, you might walk out the door and tell me, oh, that was a great sermon. Especially if somebody came forward. Oh, that was a great sermon. You know what I learned early on in my Christian ministry? When somebody came forward to join the church or get saved, to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, people at the door when they were leaving would tell me this, oh, Pastor, that was a great sermon. You ought to save that one and use it again. There was something formulaic about you did it exactly right and it made people come to Christ. Sometimes people don't come to Christ because they're not ready yet. They got one more question that they're trying to deal with before they step forward. They got one more thing. So instead of this one-size-fits-all presentation, why don't I spend some time with them finding out what that one stumbling block is? Find out what's keeping them from making the next step. Because maybe somebody's already shared with them the gospel. And I don't necessarily need to do it again. I need to help them take the next step. As I help you as your pastor, I'm constantly, I'm constantly giving you a report card in my head. You're going to give me a report card when you get out in your car. Well, that sermon got a today, okay? And by the way, I learned to ask my wife not what my grade for my sermon was one day. I asked her, I said, well, how was the sermon today? And she said, well, you had three really good places to stop. Okay, I'm not asking her a grade anymore. But as I'm talking with you, I'm constantly thinking about and evaluating what's the next step you need to take to be a stronger disciple. What's that next step? And how can God bring me some wisdom and some insight to get you to take that next step? Constantly. What's holding them back from taking the next step? How can I help them to get over this obstacle in their spiritual journey? Is that not the same thing that Paul did here in Athens? He said, let me listen to you first. Let me hear what you know about God first. And then I'm going to take a step from there to help you take another step. He didn't have a one-size-fits-all presentation. And you can study that through the book of Acts because he does different things in every town he goes to. He's listening. He's looking. So I want to leave you with this question. Are you willing to listen first before sharing the gospel and asking people to make a commitment to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to listen first? Now, I also want to make it clear, God wants you, God has commanded you, God has asked you to be out there telling people about Jesus Christ. Why are the churches empty? Why are churches not having new membership? Why are people saying we don't need church? Because we're not showing them why they need it. We've got to be out there showing them that. It's great that we join together and we come together, but we've got to be out there and we've got to show them why a relationship with the God that created all the universes, who sent a son who died for us, we need to let them know why that's important, to have a relationship with that God. That's where we'll see more members. But are you willing to listen first to where people are? And then start from where they are. Not from the very beginning. Start from where they are. And help them to take one more step. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, we do thank you for this day. We want to thank you for Paul. because Paul did so many things differently than what we even do today. But Lord, help us to be people that will listen first. People that will develop a relationship with others. People that will help others. Help us to be in it for the long haul, not just for the ticking off of a box saying, there, I shared the gospel with that person. Help us to be there for the long haul, to walk with them in such a deep and dynamic way that they truly would come to know you and walk with you as a faithful disciple, as, Lord, we are trying to do too. Help us, Lord, that you might be proud to call us your daughters and sons. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.